Shall we turn to the book of Jude, the book before Revelation? The book of Jude. Verse 20 and 21. But you, beloved, are building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Verse 21. And keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The Bible encourages us to look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this message is for everybody, for every generation. We have to look for the mercy and wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this generation, who needs mercy? Mercy means you are weaker than others, so you need mercy. Mercy means you need help, so you look for mercy from others. Mercy means you lack something, so you need those who are abundant to give you something. But this generation emphasizes so much on pride, self-centered. We always try to boast whatever we have. Even though we don't have anything, but we still very proud about ourselves. And because of this kind of pride, deeply buried inside our heart, it's so difficult for us to cry for mercy from others. Surely, nobody will need to cry for mercy except you are necessary. But when we stand before the Most Holy One, we need mercy. And we have to wait for the mercy of the Lord. Even including when we pray, we need the mercy of the Lord. I would like to start the topic from three aspects. The first aspect, we need the mercy of God so that we can be saved. In other words, if it is not because of the mercy of God, none of us, including you, including me, can be saved. The Bible says it is not we who choose God. It is God who chose us. Let's one step further think about why God chose you, why God chose me. It is because we are better than others? Maybe we think so, but in the Bible say it is not so. God chose us not because we are better than others. It is not because other people are worse than we are, so God did not choose them. God chose us only because of one reason, because he had mercy on us. Let's see. The book of Romans, chapter 9. The book of Romans, chapter 9. Verse 14. Chapter 9, verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. Verse 15. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whoever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whoever I will have compassion. Verse 16. So that then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. This is very important. Verses. The reason we can be saved It's not because our own will. It is not because we work hard so that we can be saved. It is because God has mercy on us. The example is Esau and Jacob. Before they were born, even before they shown their conduct, their behavior, God had mercy on Jacob. So this is to prove salvation from the mercy of the Lord. It is not because our own behavior, our own righteousness. Let us see Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Verse 8, start from verse 8. For by the grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Verse 10. If we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good work, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. God saved us not because of our works. In the eyes of God, all our righteousness are filthy. No matter how good we think we are in the eyes of God, in his complete holiness, we are still filthy. So our work can never reach to God's standard so that we can be saved. So Titus chapter 3 verse 5, we are saved not because of our works, but by the mercy of the Lord through the washing of the regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So the salvation is completely come from the mercy of the Lord. So today, you and I, we all have been chosen by God. We are the holy nation. We are the royal priesthood. We are the chosen people. It is because the grace of God, the mercy of the Lord. So we cannot look down upon those who are not saved. Because we are saved by the mercy. We are not qualified to look down upon others. But on the other hand, we have to be very thankful to the Lord. Because of his mercy, today we can be what we are here. So this is the first point. Salvation comes from the grace of God through his mercy, by our faith. The second point, when we're talking about holy work, the sacred work of God, we have to have a very, very important right attitude. It is important for us to work hard. But whether our work can have good result or not is absolutely not in our own control. And also we can say the good result of the sacred work cannot simply be changed by our hard working. Yes, you are capable. You work in the world. You can earn a lot of money. You are smarter than others, so you can have some kind of capability to resolve some issue which other people cannot resolve. Then you will be paid more than others. So in this world, always whatever you put into it, whatever you can get out of it. But when we talk about holy work, we have to understand, yes, it is our duty to work hard, but we need the mercy of the Lord so that our work can be fruitful. Without the mercy of the Lord, even we work hard, our work cannot produce anything. Let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. I planted Apollo water, but God gave the increase. I planted. Paul can work very hard to spread the gospel. Apollo water. Apollo can work very hard to do the pastoring work. But the decisive factor is not in the hard working of Paul, neither in the hand of Apollo. The decisive factor is upon the mercy of the Lord, who give the increase. So verse 8 say, now he who plant and he waters are one, and each one will receive his own rewards. Okay, verse 9. For we are God's fellow worker, you are God's field. So according to what Paul mentioned in this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let me see. Verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7. So neither he who plant is anything, nor he who water, but God who gives the increase. So worker itself, we work hard, it's our duty, but we receive no credit. Why? Because the worker is not itself, is nothing. It is at the hand of God who make it increase. So after we have hard working, we have to pray, Lord, have mercy on us. Bless the work we have done for you, so that work can be very fruitful. One of the occasions, there was a church is going to have a dedication, not in the United States. Now, all the board members are very young, so they're really ambitious. They want to have a very good result of the first spiritual convocation after the church dedication. So the group of young board, they decided to fast and pray. And they set a goal. The number of baptisms should surpass all the surrounding churches. The number of receiving the Holy Spirit should surpass every local churches. So they work hard on it. Everybody fast and pray for a few months. But it ends up in the church dedication, nobody received Holy Spirit. Only a few have been baptized. So they asked the pastor, what happened? The pastor say, your attitude is not right. Yes, you can work hard. You can fast and pray. But do you know when you pray, it is not because you pray hard so you can exchange God's blessing. Yes, you should pray hard. But whether your prayer is fruitful or not, it rely on God's mercy. So you can only humbly kneel down and ask for the mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. If we pray hard, then our work prospers. Then we have something to boast about. It is because we pray hard. But if we pray hard and we ask for mercy from God, when the holy work has some kind of fruit, we cannot boast. We know it is because of the mercy of God. If next time you pray hard, God doesn't show mercy, you are going to reap nothing. So when we rely on the mercy of God, God bless our work, we are very humble because it is the mercy of God. So all the workers have this kind of understanding. In the Psalm chapter 127 say, unless the Lord builds, the builder will labor in vain. Unless the watchman, under the Lord watch over, the watchman will be awake in vain. Unless God work with us, otherwise how no matter how hard you work, will be in vain, fruitless. So you see in this NYTS, in the first 1 to 3 days, pretty much we are already in a mood of spiritual pursuit. We know a lot of people has been praying for this, especially the Boeing Park Church has announced a long time in advance. So we come here, we see so different. The holy work has been going on so smoothly. Yes, it is because of a hard prayer, but don't forget, it is because of the mercy of God who listened our prayer. And also, let's see another example. In the book of Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, Verse 12. Start from verse 11. Now, as the lame man who was healed hold on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. A lot of people, they surrounding Peter and John because a paralyzed person was cured. So verse 12, Peter saw it, and he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man worse?" So Peter was able to understand. They looked so intently to the worker, because Peter is praying more. So he prayed three times in the temple, right? Because Peter was so godly, so religious. So right now, the person was healed. The person was healed because of Peter's godliness and his hard working. Peter said, "No, I am not the one caused the person to be cured. I am not the one who should receive the credit." And now you look into chapter 3, verse 16. "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which come through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Why this person was cured? Because of God's power and mercy. And we, worker of God, is nothing but an instrument. So when we engage the holy work, we have to work hard, and we need the grace of God. We need the mercy of God so that our work can be fruitful. So every time when we kneel down and pray, we only say, "Lord, we are so weak. Please bless the work we have done. Have mercy on us." And God will listen. God will show mercy on us, and everybody will be blessed, and we will be humble. The third point, receiving the grace of God. We need the mercy of the Lord. Because when we ask for the grace of God, remember, God owes us nothing. God has no obligation to listen to our prayer. This is the first place we have to understand. Because it is we who sin against God. It is not God who sin against us. It is we who rebellion against God. It is not God who rebellion against us. It is we show no respect to God. It is not God who show no respect to us. So we are unworthy to receive anything from the Lord. So if we want to pray for the grace of God, whatsoever you want to ask from the Lord, we should have a very fundamental, correct attitude. We need the mercy of the Lord. This is the attitude we should have. So in the first, in the Luke chapter 17, talk about when there are 10 person who had a leprosy. So Jesus went into that village. They stood very far away. What did they say? "Have mercy on us." Yes, this is a correct attitude. "Have mercy on us." And really, Jesus sympathized them and asked them to show their leprosy to the priest. But as soon as they go on the way to show the leprosy, their leprosy was cured because Jesus had mercy on them. But spiritually speaking, everybody, we have mercy. We have leprosy. We have sin. In another incident, talk about Luke chapter 18. We all remember this example vividly, right? There was a blind person, heard a lot of people passing around, and he asked, "What is that?" And somebody told him, "It is the man of Nazareth passing by here." As you know, when somebody told Nathanael, Jesus is the man from Nazareth, And Nathanael said, can anything good come from Nazareth? So when people introduce Jesus is a man from Nazareth, means he is nothing. But this blind man shout aloud, the son of David, have mercy on us. He understood the one passing by is the son of David, is the one fulfilled the prophecy in the Old Testament, is the Savior. So he cried aloud, have mercy on us. Blind person needs mercy from the Lord. So his cry with this kind of humility touched the heart of the Lord. And the Lord stopped, say, what do you want me to do for you? Don't you think all of us, we are blind previously. We are blind spiritually. We need the mercy of God so that he can open our eyesight. We can see. We can see the wonderfulness of his kingdom. We can see the wonderfulness of his abidance with us. We can behold the law of glory in the Mount of Transfiguration so that we can be attracted and we can have joy and peace. So we need the mercy of the Lord when we pray anything from him. So besides, we pray very hard. In our bottom of our heart, let us think we are unworthy to receive anything from him. The only thing we can receive from him is because he has mercy on us. That's in Psalm chapter 103. Psalm chapter 103, verse 10 to 13. He has not dealt with according to our sin, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. If God deal with according to our sin, if God punishments according to our iniquities, all of us today will not be here. We just like people in Sodom and Gomorrah already. We perish for a long time already. And because of the mercy towards us, so today we can be here, we can be alive, and we can receive his blessing. And verse 11. For the heaven high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. 12. As far as the east from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. Verse 13. As a father pity his children, so the Lord pity those who fear him. You see, 13 says pity. We need Lord to have pity us, to have mercy on us. Why? Because we are nothing. You look into verse 14. For he knows our frame. He remember we are dust. We are dust, right? After the lunch hour, a lot of people use a vacuum machine, vacuum around. What are you vacuuming for? You are vacuuming the dust. So we are the dust. In the eyes of God, we are the dust. You use a vacuum machine to clean it. We worth nothing in the eyes of God. So the only thing we can rely on is mercy. His love and his mercy. And verse 15. As for men, the days are like a grass and the flower of the field, so the flourishes. Verse 15. For the wind passed over it, and it's gone, and its place remember it no more. Verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. You see, our flower, the best moment in our life, the prime time of our life, is just like a flower. It blossoms, attracts a lot of people, then it withered. And nobody remembers us anymore. Nobody remembers anymore. Why? When time passes, there are some flower is going to blossom again. We wither, we have been forgotten already. But God will never forget us. God will remember us forever because of His mercy. Oh, because of His mercy. If God never shown mercy to us, when we wither, we will be treated like another person treated us. You will be forgotten forever. Because He mercy on us, so He remembers forever. So let us remember, we have to work hard, but we need the mercy of God. We can pray hard for God's grace, but we need the mercy of God. We can preach the gospel, but we need the mercy of God. So let us come forward to the mercy seat in His holy temple and looking for His mercy to us so that the grace of God can be abundant in our life. Let's come forward and pray.